According to the CDC, heat now causes more deaths in the U.S. than hurricanes, tornadoes, or floods. Climatologists say an average of 1,500 people die from heat-related causes in the U.S. every year. And a 2015 report from the climate change group founded by Michael Bloomberg says Florida alone is going to see an additional 1,840 deaths a year related to heat in the next 5 to 25 years. That's one of the reasons Miami-Dade recently announced that Jane Gilbert, Miami's former resiliency officer overseeing sustainability, would be the city's new interim chief heat officer. And heat officer Jane joins us now from Miami. I'm sure you hear this. How hot is it?
So our temperatures are in the high 80s, but here we have very high humidity. So you have a feels-like temperature of 106.
Yeah, we know that on Sunday, June 22nd, the heat index reached 108 degrees. That's the highest it's been since August 2015. So heat officer, what does that mean?
My role is to coordinate and accelerate our existing efforts to mitigate heat-related risk, particularly to human health and to outdoor workers, and to work very closely with our office resilience to make sure it's integrated with our plans to reduce carbon emissions, as well as to adapt to sea level rise.
Well, I'm so glad you said that about workers, because there's a heat suffering gap that has become very noticeable across the country. There are people who can come to Florida and spend the day in the sun and the heat and then go home to frigid hotel rooms. But you have workers, construction workers, any kind of outdoor worker, who can't get away from it. So there's a difference in how people view heat. But you've told us that often they don't think about it at all. You call it the silent killer. Why is that?
So because heat-related illnesses, hospitalizations, and deaths are often underreported. You mentioned an estimate of 1,500 a year, but there are estimates as high as 12,000 a year that are deaths that are related to heat. But it hasn't been front and center in people's understanding of how dangerous it is.
Right. What do you plan to do about it?
So we have both the short-term actions that we know we need to do, which is, one, increase our awareness and make sure that particularly our most vulnerable populations, so that could be elderly, certainly in low-income areas, outdoor workers, pregnant women have more vulnerability to heat. So to make sure that they're getting the information about what they can do in the event of heat. And it really is not only impacting outdoor workers, but people who can't afford to put their AC on at night or when in the heat of the day. So this heat over time is going to exacerbate those for those that can't afford or because of their work conditions can't be inside air conditioning.
Okay, you mentioned air conditioners. What do you do about that? Because we know that they contribute to global warming. And, you know, I always get annoyed at how frigid Florida's hotels are. They're so cold. So what do you do about that inequity that there are people just sucking up air conditioning in some parts and people who can't afford it in another part of the county?
So we need to first invest in energy efficiency and weatherization programs for the housing of the greater than 50% of our population that's struggling to make ends meet here. And when you talk about those that are using more AC than perhaps they even need, that's going to have to ultimately be their own responsibility. We can't regulate that, but it's an education.
What about infrastructure and planting trees and putting grass on roofs? I mean, what else might you do?
So tree planting does more than just provide shade, because it not only has the cooling impact of the surrounding area and any buildings it may shade, but it sequesters or absorbs carbon from the atmosphere, and it helps with stormwater management, which is also a big challenge here. So we've set a goal of realizing a tree canopy of 30% by 2030. We're going to be really concentrating those tree plantings in areas, our urban heat islands, that can have a temperature differential of 10 degrees Fahrenheit, just because it's a lot of pavement and lack of trees. in and around playgrounds, bus stops, areas where people really need that shade the most.
You told the Washington Post that you can have a difference of 35 degrees between sitting under a tree in Miami and sitting in a paved area.
Yeah, in the middle of a parking lot. Yeah, it can be that dramatic.
Oh, boy. And just briefly, we know that you're partnering with Athens, Greece, which is working on this. What have you learned from them?
One of the things that Athens, Greece has done is used social media and apps to inform their public about where they can cool off. And that's one of the things that we are looking to do is gather stories and have already been engaging our public and installing temperature and humidity sensors in local areas in their communities so that everybody can be involved in monitoring the changes that we're seeing.
Yeah. And just finally, we know that increased heat means rising sea levels, warmer water, warmer air that holds the moisture, all that stuff. We're reading that Miami-Dade contains 26% of all U.S. homes at risk from rising seas. That's amazing. That's Zillow's accounting. Will that be in your wheelhouse?
So I work very closely with our County Office of Resilience and Chief Resilience Officer, Jim Murley. My work will be completely integrated with that work, as well as with the team's efforts on reducing carbon emissions in the county.
I'm just wondering, Jane Gilbert, again, Miami-Dade's first ever interim chief heat officer. It's a temporary position that feels like it might become permanent. We have to remark also that you just had a building collapse in your state, just a horrific moment. You've got these record-breaking heat, rising sea levels. Do people feel a little embattled?
So I live in a community with many people who have fallen in love with Miami just as much as I have. So it is hard. You know, COVID's hit all of us, and then Surfside was just terrible tragedy that we're all still recovering from.
Yeah. Jane Gilbert, best of luck to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.